There are some holistic benefits of the resurrection. The resurrection has direct bearing on the lives of all saints. Redeemed sinners, burdened with sin, guilt, death, decay. It has holistic benefits. First, he says that the resurrection is essential for saints' justification. That's Romans 4:24. Gaffin notes that the eradication of death in Christ's resurrection is nothing less than the removal of the verdict of condemnation and the effective affirmation of his Adamic righteousness. Consequently, Jesus' death establishes our relationship with God by bringing about the forgiveness of sins, while his resurrection guarantees that this forgiveness is real, sufficient, and permanent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a representation of Christ that we do for communion. We don't take the next firstborn and nail on the cross. There's not a this is all symbolic. This is to get you to think about the world in a different way. No, this is real, sufficient, and permanent.
Right.
And it has to be that, or we're needing to have the incarnation happen. I mean, at every moment. And so right. You can see where our Roman Catholic friends try and met this out in the Mass, and the sufficiency and permanency isn't there. And so the real presence of Christ has to come in the Eucharist there, so that it happens again and again. Except when you move outside and you cut somebody off in traffic, you just turn around and you go right back in.
You gotta go right back. So now as established justification, he says, furthermore, the resurrection is essential for believers' sanctification and glorification.
Right.
Paul enjoins believers to consider their union with Christ, particularly in his death, burial, and resurrection. These seminal events, Christensen tells us, in the life of Christ intersect the life of the believer at three focal points in redemptive history. Right?
Right. So first, somehow, in the mysterious and timelessness of providential actions of God, every person chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world also was located with and participated with Christ in the spatio-temporal events of his death, burial, and resurrection,
Right. Wherein
every single transgression that the person committed in thought, word, or deed was nailed to the cross and summarily taken away.
So somehow we are combined, we're interlinked, we're participating in what Christ accomplished. That's what he's getting at here. This kind of mysterious and timeless act that Christ accomplished not only on our behalf, but we were somehow participating in it.
Yeah. Right? And you have to do this too, because Christ dies 33 AD on a Friday, resurrected on a Sunday, and then all the people before that, okay, they're included. He's good.
Right.
But what about Paul?
Yeah.
What about me? What about Charlemagne?
Yeah.
Maybe Charlemagne. what about all the people for the past 2,000 years? How do we take part in that? And so, again, the need for the incarnation, the God-man, stressing both the man and God. You can't separate the two here. And so, there's a weirdness, a mystery here that we have to partakers in Christ in this as well.
And that's what Paul is, what he's getting at here in Ephesians 1:4 is talking about here. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Right.
So it's a timeless kind of thing. Right.
Yeah. Especially from a God perspective.
Yeah.
All right. Well, second, the reality of these events have an experiential and transformative impact on the believer's life at the moment the Spirit immerses the believer into the life of Christ via regeneration and conversion. Romans 6 talks about this in 1 Corinthians 12. Consequently, the believer's new or resurrected life means that he must consider himself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, Romans 6 and Colossians 3. Mm. And so that's the putting off the old man and putting on the new. It's the idea of taking off the tattered clothes and putting on the robes that Christ gave to us. So that kind of when God looks to us. He sees the Spirit implanted in our heart. He sees the robe that Christ has given to us, and he declares us clean.
Yeah. Good. And then thirdly, the resurrection of Christ in particular is a guarantee of the believer's future resurrection and glorification, right? So this is present mortal pain that that we're in now is not our destiny, right? Because Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, conquered death. We look forward to our final victory and habitation in our real homes, in our real bodies.
Right.
But our citizenship, he says, is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, the power that enables him to even subject all things to himself, right? So this resurrection then guarantees his resurrection, that we will be resurrected, and we will have a body just like Christ's body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, again, it's a kind of mirroring what Jesus goes through, so that we take part in that as well. And it's one of the reasons that kind of Paul was, to the outside perspective on Mars Hill, he made a mistake by talking about the resurrection of the dead, because the kind of the Greek belief was that this world is corrupt, and you know, the spirit world is what's true. And so this resurrection of the dead, why would you talk about perfection and being perfected, and then marred again with physicality? But there is, we sometimes, I think, have a false idea of, oh, well, I'll just leave this life and be up in God with heaven, and I won't care about the body. You know, the early monastics had this, no brushing their teeth or hair or wow. unkemptness, and yeah. that's why they stayed out in caves out in the desert. Yeah. You know, they would
run out of town,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from just the smell alone, and even back then, that's saying something. Yeah. And so they're poor outside, kind of tried to match a healthy spiritual quality inside them, and so that's not what we see. We don't see this delineation. We talk about a delineation between the world and the kingdom of God, but the physical needs of men are met in the ministry of Jesus. He feeds the 5,000. He feeds the multitudes. He feeds them so much that there's 12 baskets left over. There's 7 baskets left over. He saves people in a storm and all these things. He takes care of the illness and the sicknesses. So divorcing that physicality from God's plan is not something that we should do. Looking forward towards a perfected body, yes, that's something that we should want, because again, that's Christ overcoming not only death but also the sting of death and everything included there as well.
Yeah. And so these three then focal points of redemptive history, how that we are, participate with Christ in his resurrection, and the realities, events are experimental, right? We experience them, rather mm-hmm. experiential and transformative to us. And then finally, are guaranteed our future resurrection and these bodies. So these three things then is what Christian is telling us is part of what is accomplished in the resurrection.
Right.